Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
When are they coming in and out of that place? Use your notepad, okay?
Okay. Anybody goes in, who they are and what time. They come out, who they are and what time.
Okay. Appreciate it.
A man calls 911, his voice trembling with panic as he repeats, "My son's wife is dead. Please help." He struggles to stay calm as he describes a nightmarish scene. The victim was stabbed and her head was found in the bathtub. Terror and disbelief hang in the air as the operator urges him not to enter the crime scene. Police are on their way, but for now, the caller is left standing there, overwhelmed by a paralyzing sense of helplessness.
He told me it happened this morning.
Who told you?
Jared.
Okay.
And he has been acting really strange lately.
Waller County 911, what's going on?
I don't know everything. But my son's wife is dead. Please.
Okay.
Somebody, please, I'll stay on the phone with
Okay, are you suit. Okay, are you on location right now?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I am. Oh, my God.
I got as far as the doorway. I didn't.
Yeah, don't go in. Oh, this is a murder scene.
Give me the scoop. She was just brutally decapitated. She's got stab wounds to her back. Her head's in the bathtub. I mean, it's a
redhead.
No. She's dark Hispanic.
No. The one you got detained, old redheaded boy.
Yeah.
A man calls 911. His voice trembling with panic as he repeats, "My son's wife is dead. Please help." He struggles to stay calm as he describes a nightmarish scene. The victim was stabbed and her head was found in the bathtub. Terror and disbelief hang in the air as the operator urges him not to enter the crime scene. Police are on their way, but for now, the caller is left standing there, overwhelmed by a paralyzing sense of helplessness.
Hello, he's here.
Hello.
Are you cold, hot? Thank you.
I'm a little cold.
It's a little chilly. Thank you. All right. I'm Detective Bionic. This is Detective Scholarly. You are Jared. Can you state your name? Okay.
I don't
know. So I keep calling you Jared and you don't know?
I used to know.
Okay.
And it was like somebody came in here.
Okay. I'm going to read you your rights and first and foremost. Okay? And then we'll start the interview. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can or will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to talk to a lawyer and have him or her present with you while you are being questioned. If you cannot afford to hire a lawyer, one will be appointed to you to represent you before and during any questioning if you wish. You can decide at any time to exercise these rights and not answer any questions or make any statements. Do you understand this?
Yeah.
Are you willing to talk to me? Okay. So... it's my understanding you were just in the hospital, is that right?
Yes, and after that, I started feeling weird.
What were you in the hospital for?
Stomach pain.
Okay, and you were... Wait, what hospital did you go to?
Memorial Valley.
Okay. Did you go by ambulance or did you go by car?
There was time I went for my stomach, I went for my lungs, I didn't know.
Is that something you use a lot or you dabble or okay?
Sure.
Until recently. When's the last time that you used the...
Never done that. I did it 2 weeks. I've been up for like 2 weeks.
You've been up for 2 weeks? Okay. And the when you just went to the hospital, 2 days ago, you said it was for the substance.
Mm-hmm. And after that, that's when it really went in there. Okay.
Have you used again since then? Meth or something different?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When was the last time that you remember? You don't remember when it was?
Okay.
So that is your mom and dad's house where you live, correct? And what's your wife's name? You don't want to answer me? Okay. Do you want to tell me what happened?
Jared, the main suspect, enters the interrogation room. He appears disoriented, his words jumbled as if he's disconnected from reality. As officers read him, his Miranda rights, Jared seems lost in his thoughts. He admits to being recently discharged from the hospital and using drugs, deepening the investigators' suspicions. His scattered responses only add to the tension in the room. Making it clear this is more than just a homicide, it's a descent into a nightmare, fueled by addiction and chaos.
Jim, we need you to talk us through this. It's not a matter of what happened, it's a matter of how and what your mindset was, what your thought process was, what caused it, did she make you mad, what happened? Just start one step at a time. You know, you got home from work. What time did you get home from work?
Five.
Okay. Doesn't have to be exact. So, around five. And then what happened? Was she awake or was she asleep?
The detectives press forward with pointed questions. What happened between you and your wife? What time did you get home? Jared avoids direct answers, muttering, "Something happened, but I can't remember." His evasiveness only fuels the investigators' determination. There's a flicker of hope that Jared might not be a cold-blooded killer, but rather a man lost in the haze of drugs and emotions. Still, the truth remains maddeningly out of reach.
Do you not know, or are you just refusing the answer?
I'm just refusing the answer.
Okay. Are you not going to tell us what happened? Well, then that's a yes or no question.
Figured you'd love her. You might want to tell us. Bad to you or something. She deserved that. She's not deserving of it. She didn't do anything bad to you.
Something is too
funny. Just to control.
Tell us what you can recall. Can you recall what happened when you got home?
What is this?
When what?
Yeah.
What, the bag someone would? Is there any potential evidence that might be on them? Did she say anything? she asked why. Did she ask you to stop? Did she tell you she loved you? What did she say to you?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You can stonewall us if you want to. There's a lot of people that are brokenhearted tonight. Your family, her family, and it's not going away. And you caused that. And the only way to give anybody closure and ease some of the pain to take accountability and tell us what happened and answer their questions.
I did drugs and I was up for like 3 weeks.
I understand that.
What is the answer?
I understand that. We see that a lot.
The detectives ramp up the pressure. You loved your wife, didn't you? Then why did this happen? Jared stays silent, his head bowed as the weight of their questions grows heavier. The tension in the room is palpable, each unanswered question cutting deeper. Sweat beads on Jared's face, but he remains unyielding. The detective's frustration mounts. It's no longer just about solving a case, but breaking through the wall Jared has built around himself.
I'm not going to take accountability for it. That was, I think, it's a family closure of what happened to the loved one in her last moments and your family.
You get some of those marks on you from her fighting, trying to get you off her.
Jared, this is on you to decide how this goes. It's not a question. I've already told you that. It's not a question that you did it in the manner in which you did it, but what matters is the why. What happened? You said that you're on drugs, okay? But that doesn't tell us what happened in that room. And they're not going to answer any of our questions, and they're not going to tell us, and we won't waste your time or ours. But it's our job to tell all sides of the story. She's not here to speak, but you are, and you can tell us what happened from your side of things. And we want to hear what happened.
I just lost control. I don't know what
they're calling. We're not here to judge you. Drugs do make people do crazy things. You're not the first and you won't be the last, unfortunately. And you're not in your right mind. And you're not the same person that you are when you're on drugs versus when you're not on drugs. It changes you. We're not here to tell you that Jared is a bad guy or a bad person. Did she say something or do something that set you off? Was she laying in bed? Was she asleep?
So she was awake when you got home?
It's only going to make you feel better to get it off your chest.
Jared, think of her family. They need to know the truth to find peace. The detectives appeal to his conscience, but every word seems to fall into a void. Jared mutters, "I don't want to remember." It's a vague admission, yet it carries the weight of guilt. The investigators sense an inner turmoil within him. Is this genuine remorse, or is he hiding behind a veil of ambiguity?
Why do you not want to tell us? What? I'm sorry,
I should know a lot closer to God.
That should be all.
I think we can all say that.
You gotta get it out. It's you, you gotta get it out. Are we gonna make the carriages monster? I don't think so. Think something happened that just got away from you. What happened?
I just forgot who I live in the city girl was. Jesus Christ. Lost my way.
With that being said, what do you think that you should do?
Do you know the Bible? Do you know the scriptures about asking for forgiveness and repenting? God absolutely forgive you. You ask Him with a pure heart and you repent. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to take ownership for what you did. And He still commands you to follow along the line.
Help us understand. Tell us why you're sorry. Tell us what occurred for this tragic ending to happen. What happened? What was going on?
Just drugs. We need to stay away from drugs.
Well, I understand that. So you did it, and tell us what happened after you took it.
Drugs just make you go crazy. It makes you lose sight. It makes you not be able to see straight.
All right. So what did it make you do this morning? Last night.
Did the drugs make you lose control? What really happened? The detective's questions grow sharper, their urgency unmistakable. Jared begins to tremble, but remains tight-lipped. The silence is deafening, and the detectives refuse to relent. They know this isn't just about uncovering facts. It's about pulling Jared out of the abyss of his fractured mind.
So why would you do something like that?
Those drugs just take control of you.
I understand that. You keep saying that, but I want to know.
We understand that part. We don't understand what happened in your house.
What happened?
So I guess you just deserved it. I guess so. I mean, you're not saying anything. So maybe she just deserved it, huh? Maybe you didn't love her, and she just deserved it. Because obviously you didn't care. You don't care now. Not enough to say what actually happened. I would think that she would be deserving of that, but if she's not deserving of that, then maybe she was a bad person, just really got under your skin. That was the problem with her, wasn't it?
Nobody's just a bad person.
You were just a bad person. Or is she just a bad person? You're really showing like you loved her, but I don't think so.
Here's the deal. There's overwhelming evidence that would convict you at a trial. DNA, I mean, it's not a question that you did it. Right now, and I'm going to be frank, is your one shot to show any kind of remorse and ask for mercy. And I will tell you, the way it looks to juries, when you sit here and you stonewall and you refuse to answer, it's a lack of remorse and a lack of taking ownership. And they don't like that. So if you're considering your own well-being in this situation after having murdered your wife, and that's...
I'm telling people I'm really sorry.
You can't stay silent forever. You need to face this. The detectives' voices take on a stern, almost pleading tone, as if trying to break through Jared's mental defenses. But all he does is stare at the table, avoiding their eyes. Something inside him seems to be crumbling, but his guilt and fear keep the truth locked away. The tension in the room continues to spiral.
Clear. We're not asking for generalities, and we're not asking about your personal relationship with God. Obviously, it's a struggle for everybody. That's not a question. Nobody has a perfect relationship with Him. But we're going to ask you one last time what happened. And if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But your opportunity to have any kind of looking like a good guy of, this is what I did and I'm sorry and I can't believe I did it, that door is closing on you.
Look, I didn't do it.
You can't even keep a straight face, buddy. Is that it?
She was just a piece of trash you threw out, huh?
I know.
What would you tell her if she was sitting right next to you now? If she's just looking right at you, you're just going to say, I'm sorry? You're not going to give an explanation as to why? You're looking at her in the eye, and you can't tell her why you did this? Why did you decide to do this to her?
An evil thing. Didn't have some crazy. Oh, it just spoke too long.
So what did she say to make you mad to do that to her?
The interrogation reaches its peak. Jared, this isn't just about the law. It's about forgiveness and accountability. Her family needs to know what happened. Finally, Jared whispers, I lost control. It's a brief but chilling confession, carrying the weight of a tragic story. The final pieces of the puzzle start to emerge. Jared isn't just facing the consequences of his actions in the eyes of the law, but also the torment of his own guilt and regret.
Something
did control me. Okay, so it made you do what?
Something.
What did it make you do?
On the screen. It was telling me.
What did it tell you to do?
It would like stop time. Like if you're going to something, it would stop.
Okay.
Time would stop. Number. I was being forced. Like not in my free will.
Okay. Forced to do what?
Forced to just walk. Forced to go.
Okay. What did it force you to do to her? What did it force you to do to your wife?
It forced me.
To what?
To kill her.
Why? What did it tell you to do to her? Did it tell you how to kill her?
Yes.
So how did you kill her? Tell us how you killed her.
I don't know because it wasn't Jared.
Okay, so it wasn't Jared, but somebody that was, you think, that caused you to do it. What did he cause you to do to her? You said he caused you to kill her, but tell us how it caused you to kill her. What did you do to her? Jared, what did you do to her? Okay. Well, what did you not mean to do? What did you do to her?
It wasn't Jared.
What did you do to her?
Oh.
Tell us. Get it out. What did you do? Hey, what did you do?
What you saw.
What did I see? Tell me what I saw. I'm asking you.
Cut her head off. That's what it made you do.
And made you cut her head off. And what did you use to do that with?
The knife.
Where did you get the knife from?
It was put in my hand by her.
By her?
No.
Was the knife something that was already in your house?
Yes.
So tell me what happened then during that time. Was she up when you got home? Was she awake when you got home? Did y'all talk? Do you remember what y'all talked about?
We're just talking normally, and then she turned on the TV, and that's when that started. It made me follow the light.
How long were you home before this happened?
The interrogation room is heavy with tension. Detectives press Jared. If she deserved it, tell us why. If not, then what made you do it? Jared remains silent, avoiding eye contact, as if trying to escape the weight of the truth. The investigators warn him that his cold demeanor will reflect poorly on him in court. Sweat beads on Jared's forehead as he struggles with his guilt, yet he remains silent, seemingly battling inner turmoil.
She didn't do anything to cause it. Is that what you're saying? Tell me. I don't know. I'm asking the questions here, trying to figure it out. Did she say anything to you? Was she pleading? Did she tell you, don't do this? Stop. What did she say?
She said, stop.
Please don't do it with me. Just go through with it and just tell me exactly what happened as soon as you got home. We know you can recall it. You're telling us they're in pieces.
I got point five. She turned on the screen. When she turned on the screen, actually it was happening. It was like I was being controlled by it. And it was just like she was telling me to. She was telling me to stop. And the TV where I saw the numbers. It just made me fall. You remember that one? It's like, you know how when you're working, you just try to time. It was time it got stayed. And if time did, time would stop. And I'm just crazy.
A chilling hint surfaces as Jared murmurs that he was controlled by something. It forced me to do it, he claims. He admits he wasn't in control of himself, adding an eerie twist to the conversation. The detectives press him harder. What did it tell you? What did it make you do? Jared's vague and fragmented responses deepen the sense of unease, as though he's grappling with horrific memories that he can barely articulate.
Okay, so what happened next? Did you follow through with that? Okay, well, she's fully clothed. She's on the floor. So tell us what happened. You say after you raped her, you did what else? How did she get on the floor?
Were you fighting because you were trying to rape her, or it was afterwards? How did the fight start? How did the knife get introduced? Walk us through that.
We got into a fight. She grabbed the knife.
So you took the knife from her, or what? And then?
They started fighting, and then
did you cut her head off while she was still alive?
It's like if I didn't listen, it would make me throw up. It would make me hurt. It would make me hear a lot of noise. It would make me, turn around. And I'd stop going that way. It was talking to me. The information was just getting in. And I didn't want it. It was coming into it. Down to the point where a little silence is scary.
There were other stabbings on her body. Did you do that after you cut her head off, or before?
Before or after, what did you say?
You just told me before. Did she injure you at all? Did she cut you with the knife when she had it?
Then the horrifying confession drops. I cut off her head. The room falls silent, the tension palpable. Jared explains that a voice commanded him to act, urging him to grab a knife from the house. Detectives push for details, but Jared's fragmented explanations reveal both his fear and his inability or unwillingness to fully face what he has done.
What do you think about that? Why was your hair wet? Did you turn the shower on?
Yes.
To wash yourself, or to wash your hair, or what?
To wash.
What are the clothes that you had on? Or were you wearing any clothes?
I wasn't wearing any clothes.
Did you have plans on hurting your mom or your dad when you went over to their house? There were no voices that told you to hurt them?
There's voices that tell me that
to shoot yourself? Why didn't you? Where was it then? You don't know.
But no, I wasn't gonna hurt.
You weren't gonna hurt your parents? So you could control that? You can control not hurting them.
You said you take meth?
Yes.
How do you use it? How do you ingest meth?
I snort it.
You snort it? Where did you get it from? Where did you get your meth from?
Do you know from your brother?
No, in fact, from his name's Baxter.
Baxter?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same guy your brother did with him?
Yeah.
So you were at Magnolia?
My brother? No.
No, that's not
his brother, does it?
I thought so. Maybe I have that one. The Baxter at Magnolia?
Sure.
Do you live like up, towards like you're going to the Renaissance Festival?
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been using?
The detectives probed for motives. What did she do? What did you talk about? Jared recounts how it all started when his wife turned on the TV, describing strange numbers and images that he believed were giving orders. His narrative blurs the line between reality and delusion, painting a surreal picture of a man teetering on the edge of madness.
Did you use it? Where do you usually keep it?
In one of the drawers.
Is one of those cars outside yours? Is it Challenger?
The Challenger's Jared.
It's yours and Andy's?
Mm-hmm.
What else do you think we should know?
I'm very sorry. I did that on Mary's. Tell Mary. She's not.
Well, thank you for telling us the truth. We still have to do a couple things, okay? So you're going to be under arrest for murder. We're going to have one of the deputies who's going to stay with you until we can get some of our paperwork done, okay? Do you have any questions for us? We went back on again.
The detectives ramp up the pressure. You loved your wife, didn't you? Then why did this happen? Jared stays silent, his head bowed as the weight of their questions grows heavier. The tension in the room is palpable, each unanswered question cutting deeper. Sweat beads on Jared's face, but he remains unyielding. The detective's frustration mounts. It's no longer just about solving a case, but breaking through the wall Jared has built around himself.
Oh, constable, thank you for coming. Who you got detained?
It's a murder, sir.
Sure?
It's a murder, sir.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got called Sergeant Garner.
Okay.
He's sending Nick and Rachel.
Okay.
Where's the...
She's in back. Come on. I didn't say nothing to him. I showed him cuffs. I believe it up.
Is it old crazy boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. You been here before?
I've never been here before.
Yeah, I have.
But, she was just brutally decapitated. She's got stab wounds to her back. Her head's in the bathtub. I mean, it's a...
So redhead?
It's a... No, she's dark Hispanic.
No. The one you got detained, old redheaded boy?
Yeah. I got as far as the doorway. I didn't.
Yeah, don't go in. This is a murder scene. Decapitation. It's an ugly spot. Dion's got the suspect detained in his back seat. All right, thank you, sir. Good one. All right. So where's the body?
So,
in there?
Yeah, if you step up on the third ladder, up there, step, you can peek your head in and see. I didn't get any further than that.
Up here?
Yeah.
Blake said her head is somewhere else? In the tub? Okay.
I gotta wait for the ID to get here.
Okay. Stay right here, Earl. Nobody goes in there. We need to get up people ID.
Yeah. And then whenever CID and Sarge get out here, make sure you give them, like, write their names and a timestamp when they come in and out of that place. Use your notepad, okay?
Okay. Anybody goes in, who they are and what time. They come out who they are and what time.
Okay. Appreciate it.
The detectives probe further into the horrific details, the additional wounds on the victim's body, her severed head placed in the bathtub. Jared offers no clear explanation, only repeating that he was not himself at the time. The investigators' expressions show a mix of frustration, sympathy, and disbelief as they try to piece together the truth.
Y'all. I understand this is difficult.
Sorry.
I understand this is difficult.
You don't need to back off?
Yeah, okay. We're going to need y'all to be separated right now. Yeah, okay, just in case, just until we get everything figured out.
Yes, sir. You want to ID him?
Yeah.
Hello, ma'am. I'm Deputy Lewis. I think I've talked to you at the door here a while back about maybe some dogs or something. No, your son's truck. Remember I come knocking on your door one morning and said, hey, you know where that truck's at? Could I get your name, please, ma'am?
Lynn. Terry Lynn. Schubert.
T-E-R-R-I-E?
It's Y.
Why?
From the 60s.
So one N or two?
Two. Schubert. S-C-H-U-B-E-R-T.
And your date of birth? And do you know your driver's license number, Ms.? And is anybody else here other than you, and that's one of your sons there?
He was gone. He took his dog to the park.
Okay,
and I called him and told
that's your husband over there?
Yes.
Okay.
They just woke up from a nap because he was helping him work last night, Jared.
Who just woke up from a nap? Your husband?
And Jared. They woke up from a nap because they worked last night. They have to go to work again. Mm-hmm. Or not now. Because he works nights.
Okay.
And my husband was helping him out last night. So he told me it happened this morning.
Who told you?
Jared.
Okay.
And he has been acting really strange lately.
Okay.
He called an ambulance on his cell the other night.
Okay. Okay.
He called an ambulance on his cell the other night.
Okay.
Said he was on drugs, but I don't believe that he was. I think something's wrong.
Okay.
Because I don't know. We don't have the labs from the hospital, so okay. I really don't know the answer to that.
Yes, ma'am. Come on. You want to sit in a chair? Or are you good right there? Okay.
Would you like to stand up?
No, I'm good.
You can sit.
No, I'm going to go. I'm going to go visit. Well, if you want to stay there, because I'll be honest with you, I'd rather you didn't go in the house.
I don't want to.
Just kind of hang around out here, okay? You get.
I've been all pain for about 5 minutes. I'm going to assist. I'm standing up until the ID gets here, but I am available for calls.
Yes, sir. Ms. Schubert, could I get a good phone number, please, ma'am?
281-814-1654.
Thank you, ma'am.
The focus shifts to Jared's drug use. He admits to using methamphetamine and denies that his wife knew about it. This revelation strengthens the theory that his actions were influenced by drugs. His voice trembles as he speaks, betraying the chaos inside his mind, even as he attempts to downplay its role in the tragedy.
Anything for me?
No, sir. I appreciate you coming, Constable.
Well, it sounded like when I had just seen y'all, so I figured y'all were a little ways off, too. So.
Yeah, we'd gone back down to try to finish our safe haven report, but it's going to have to wait. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Hey, how you doing, officer?
My involvement is when I walked up, he was walking, the redheaded guy, and he asked me, we met about where that tree is, he asked me to put him in his back seat. I walked him over there and did. He didn't say anything, and I didn't say anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll give it to the officer. So.
You got to go in the house to get it?
No, sir.
Okay. Where's old pup? He ain't going to grab nobody. Is. Okay.
He's right here behind the door.
Yeah, if you would, don't go in the house, please, sir.
You can come in here. No, good. Y'all want water?
No, we're good right now. Thank you. I'll be right back. There you go, ma'am. Mr. Dacus, could I get a good phone number for you, please?
Sure.
I was telling you, Mama, I think the last time I was here, your brother's truck was broke down or out of gas or something.
That was,
it was yours?
Yeah.
Yours.
Yeah.
And she said, broke down and run out of gas, and I just making sure nobody stole it.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
How you doing?
Yeah, how's it going?
How's this?
Very good.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Who all do you need to fill out witness statements?
I'm going to...
Where do we want to do that by...
I'm going to wait on that.
Okay.
I'm just identifying the folks that are here. I've been here. Have you ever been here before?
I was here 48 hours ago.
Okay. I've been here quite a few times.
Oh, when he called the ambulance on himself?
Yeah. Right.
And I need to go get with Daddy real quick. If you don't mind, I've asked, and they've been very cooperative. If they not go in the house while I'm over there talking to Daddy real quick.
So that no one go in this house or the one that...
Either. Nobody in this house. Nobody.
Can I at least get my dog, put him on a leash, and have him out here? Because they fight. Anyway, they don't have a way to separate them out. Separated.
You just put him in there.
Yeah, I know, but, I mean...
He didn't think he wouldn't be able to go in the house.
Yeah, honestly.
So you bring him out here, you're going to be able to tie him up where you're going to eat nobody?
Yes, sir. Of course. Yeah. Promise. He ain't going to eat. Man, this was,
I'll go in with him.
Okay. 10 guys with guns here. I'm not going to let my dog run.
Okay.
Thank you.
Finally, Jared admits everything. He describes the panic that set in after the murder, his futile attempts to clean up the scene, and the dawning realization of what he had done. The detectives wrap up the interrogation, reminding Jared that his confession will shape his fate in court. The room falls into an eerie silence, broken only by the scribble of pens and the weight of unspoken emotions.
Got your ID handy, or if you don't, you can just tell me. First full name?
Rodney.
With a G?
Yes, sir. G-E-N-E.
Dicus?
D-I-C-U-S.
And your date of birth?
Junior.
Okay. And a good phone number, please, sir.
281-814-1653. Is that J.R.?
Yes, sir. 522 JP2 is on location. Do you know these folks, Judge? Okay.
Hey,
did you get the girl's deceased name?
It's not well.
Come here, get over here, Bubba. Hey, son, stop it. Come on, let's go.
Ms. Dacus, what's the lady's name?
Angie. A-N-G-G-Y is how she spelled it.
Last name?
Well, she was married. They got married. So, Dacus, I don't know her other names.
Tension fills the air as officers begin verifying the identities of Jared's family members. What appear to be simple questions reveal chilling details about Jared and his relationship with Angie. The family tries to cooperate, but unease and anxiety are evident in their words and expressions. It feels as though everyone is bracing for a terrible truth yet to be fully uncovered.
Okay, about how old?
He's 21. She's 21.
What's Jared's date of birth?
573.
Thank you.
Ma'am, I'm on travel to your seat at Oak Hollow. Could I have the address, please?
That's going to be 206 Oak Hollow Boulevard. 206 Oak Hollow Boulevard.
Did you already tell Sergeant Garner what it was? Okay.
Nick's coming. And Rachel's coming.
Okay.
570
Los Sergeant's already here. It must be Rachel right there.
577
And Troy's coming.
He's got online to work at Michael. AT&T. He went out three times.
587 en route. Well, I don't know if you can clear me from.
Five 522, clear for 3DS. That's the last one I have. Don't need the returns. If you would just print them for me, please, ma'am.
Yeah, it's clear, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to wait until everybody else makes here before I do the thing. Get started being probably. I'll be here for a while, so.
The investigation delves deeper into personal details, wedding dates, workplaces, and Angie's relationships. Jared's family offers inconsistent answers, like they've been thrust into a storm they weren't prepared for. The officers quietly observe, searching for hidden clues in every response. It becomes clear that not only the crime scene, but also the family itself, is part of the tangled web of this tragedy.
There's an ambulance, I called the hospital.
Wayne, can we visit for a second? I got a question when you got time.
Stay right there. Yes, sir. He's not going to do nothing. He's okay, harmless.
No. Okay. Miss Angie, do you know what her last name was before she and your brother got married?
What's Angie's last name? Do you know?
Sure.
Her maiden last name.
I don't know.
Okay. How about a date of birth?
Here's her phone.
Here, let's see. Let me get her phone.
Let me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Spanish, so I don't know.
Here. Well, I want to touch this leader here. So, normal fingerprints on it. Nice.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
That's all you know about her?
Yeah, I just know she worked over there. I know she was not
here. Where'd she work?
Chepe's Meat Market.
The Chepe's?
That's what I meant, yeah. I know she's here, you know.
Did she still work at Chepe's?
Yeah, yeah. I know she's not really a legal citizen, you know. I'm just saying.
I don't care.
I don't care either. I mean,
okay.
She's family, man. She's
sure. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Wayne, if you would come, sure. If you want to hold your dog, I'd rather everybody kind of stayed away from each other for right now until our detectives get here. So if you want her to hold your dog, or you want to hold your dog?
I'll grab him now. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, I know you didn't want this at the end of the shift.
Sir?
You didn't want this at the end of the shift.
Well, I hate it happened.
Yeah.
They said that the deceased lady and old boy that's in the back seat of Dion's car got married last September.
Mm-hmm.
And all they know is her name is Angie, A-N-G-G-Y. But she works at Chepe's, or worked at Chepe's.
So the calmness of the outdoors contrasts sharply with the chaos brewing inside. Officers collect personal items such as phones and documents, hoping to piece together the full story. Jared's family begins to show signs of unease, visibly unsettled by the seizure of personal belongings. It's as if they sense that control over their lives is slowly slipping away.
I called Sergeant Garner on the way, and then when I got here, when Dion told me what we had, I called him back, told him what it was, and he's sending Nick and Rachel, and I heard Troy coming too, and I guess Travis is coming.
Yeah. I'm going to call Lieutenant.
Okay. Ms. Dykus, did Miss Angie have a vehicle?
The what?
The Mitsubishi
back there?
The Mitsubishi,
sir? Okay. Yeah.
But did she have one?
Drove it mostly.
Did she have one before they got married?
She wrecked it.
Okay. So there's not a vehicle here that's going to be registered to her?
No, they haven't got that one registered yet.
Okay.
I'm going to back out to the road, so I'm out of the way.
Okay. You need... He gonna keep you from running over a tree?
I should be good, but yes.
Okay.
think I need a little help.
Randy, sorry, Blake is the only one that went in so far, right?
Let me confirm that.
No. Well, I was going to say, Blake told me he was the only one, but I didn't know if you guys had walked
in. No, I walked up to the step and looked in, but and Dion didn't go in either. Okay. No, so Blake's it.
Randy, Mike Mathis, and Dion. Yeah, I got Del Toro. And Stewart's on his way in. I've already talked to Stewart.
A bombshell drops when Jared's mother admits, "He told me this happened this morning." Her words hit like a thunderclap, adding to the growing tension. It seems Jared may have already confessed, and now all eyes turn to the burning question. Why? The atmosphere grows heavier, and the officers realize that time to uncover the truth is running out.
I forgot to tell you, Sergeant, when I was just getting Mama's information, and I said,
I'm listening, I'm just...
She said, you know, he's been acting funny lately, and he told me it happened this morning.
Really? Hey, can you move up Central? Up by.
Did you hear what it was?
Well, we can't
reflect.
I'm
not here.
Can you do?
You feel me?
You're saying.
Happening? You're
innocent, Mama. You can go to sleep in and swear out the norm. If you are able to be evaluated by a psychologist.
We understand the answer. And I was coming to talk to you, Jerry. I just know your fault. It was my fault. I didn't get there.
Well,
I took him up to the court today. I'm going to move on at night or whatever. And I should have walked in there with it. You know, I was in the argument. I knew he was going to hold him in front of it, you know, and not anything. I feel like a person.
501, I'll be out on Ocala.
501, Ashton.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Went and checked on a boy over there. He's good.
Who is this?
I don't know. I need to get the fuck out of here. Mikey, never heard. You have any crime scene tape?
Yeah. But I don't know about.
Where to tape it off of?
Well, I'll ask Sergeant, but
I'm
thinking at this point, crime scene tape might draw more lookers than no crime scene.
I mean, it's too late for all. Good thing I got the window, too.
Yeah. So when I was, I went and told Sergeant, when I was just visiting with Mama, getting her information.
What'd she say?
She goes, they just got up from a nap because they worked late last night.
Detectives continue to piece together Angie's story, her workplace, her relationships, and even her immigration status. These seemingly small details begin to form a picture of vulnerability, dependence, and perhaps control by others. The case isn't just a tragic crime, but a spiral of injustice and oppression that may have led to this breaking point.
No.
What'd she say? Is there any way what?
He hurt himself in there.
No.
No.
Did y'all make sure you searched him?
Yeah.
Him?
Yeah.
I mean, like, good.
Look, he has
it. Where's he at? Watching back.
Yeah. He left his at the office, so. I gave it to him for log purposes.
Are you dreaming about?
Yeah, she's in the room.
You all right there, bud?
Man, good. Well, you better.
Good.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, didn't. Well, we worked Christmas weekend.
Well, did you?
Didn't have to. It was, and it was a very quiet, holy day. Yeah, nothing happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you get some food on Christmas? Huh?
We went and ate at Tiara's. Grandmother.
Oh, okay. Good deal.
Or her mother's. I don't remember. It was her mother and her grandmother's. On, they're off on Moore Road.
Yeah.
Not Moore Road.
Sunnyside.
Is it Moore Road?
Sunnyside.
In Sunnyside, yeah. We got some.
The detectives ramp up the pressure. You loved your wife, didn't you? Then why did this happen? Jared stays silent, his head bowed as the weight of their questions grows heavier. The tension in the room is palpable, each unanswered question cutting deeper. Sweat beads on Jared's face, but he remains unyielding. The detective's frustration mounts. It's no longer just about solving a case, but breaking through the wall Jared has built around himself.
Sheriff, we haven't been able to identify the victim yet, other than...
I think Mathis is over there trying to see if they can correlate something between...
All everybody knows is her and Jared got married in September of last year.
Well, they don't have a name.
Got a first name.
So I think that's her sister.
Okay, good. I said she worked at Chepe's.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Hispanic female?
According to them.
And the brother lives here or the dad?
They all live here.
Can I go in my house from here?
No, sir.
I need to go get some.
What do you need to go do?
Just hold off on that.
Yeah, it's okay. You don't need no papers, Mr. Dykes. I'm not saying it to be bossy, but
I know.
For right now,
I never had no problems with you guys.
I know that, but right now we can't let anybody into the house or back there.
My house.
This house too. Yes, sir.
Were we done? Was that all the information you needed from me?
You wouldn't happen to know Miss Angie's maiden name? They said your wife's...
Diaz.
Diaz?
D-I-A-Z.
You know, wouldn't happen to know her date of birth, huh?
So,
no? Okay. Thank you.
My wife is the one that keeps all that stuff.
Okay.
In her head.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. As soon as we can let you get in there, we will, sir.
Why? So this could happen?
Mr. Dyke says her maiden name was Diaz.
Diaz.
Telephone County Clear.
What piece of paper did he want?
Oh, some kind of hospital paper.
Oh, sure. Hospital. He just got released out of it.
Yeah, I think that's what he wanted.
Each response from Jared's family feels like a dark puzzle piece slotting into place. A connection is made. Angie worked at a meat market where she met Jared. But this only raises more questions about the true motive behind the tragedy. Was this a simple domestic incident, or is there a deeper layer of complexity being concealed?
Someone. It's her parents. So it's suspects.
Yeah, no.
Go to suspect's parents. Go to grandparents.
Damn. That's the suspect's grandparents?
Yeah. So her parents.
Mom.
That's mom's parents.
Okay.
And that's his sister with him.
You just tell them to hang it.
Yeah.
Hang it. But they already know. They don't know the details, but they already know. Somebody called them and told them.
What do any of these people have to follow along? I'll be able to snatch that shit.
Oh.
But we're Nick
Allen. I do have, Mama was waving around the phone after I got through visiting, and she goes, oh, this is Angie's phone.
Where is it? Is
that it's in my pocket. But no, sir, we ain't snatched no phone. You want me to snatch phones?
I would probably take everybody's phones.
Okay. Miss Dacus, are both of these your phones?
That one's mine. That one's Jared's.
Okay. The white one's Jared's?
Yes.
New York, New York. You can have it here, but I'm going to ask you your phone. 570, can I show myself
at 573 on C, please? This is not, well, I have a.
I can't. I don't even understand what you're telling me. Zeb said he was what?
He was texting the daughter. He was texting his daughter. So that's the reason why.
That's why they're here. Okay.
This is his phone.
I'm sorry, I don't hear good. And it's all good. When you were saying texting, I was hearing a different word.
I understand.
The tension peaks as officers prepare to leave and finalize the next steps in their investigation. Anxious glances, hesitant answers, and unfinished thoughts leave a haunting sense that this tragedy is far from resolved. In the shadow of the truth, anything feels possible, and every moment carries an undercurrent of dread.
That Saturn.
Are we all suspects?
No, ma'am.
No, this is just
no, ma'am. This is just standard.
Oh, okay.
This is just so nothing gets out because we've already had somebody pull up here today.
Yes,
we've already got people pulling up that have already heard about it. So that's what we're just trying to prevent anything else from getting out, so we can do a proper investigation. That's all it is. We're not looking through the phones or any of that.
I don't care if you look through it. I was just curious.
And this is Ms. Wayne's. Silver iPhone.
I don't know if you want to go down there and tell her.
So I'm just gonna go set these in my truck.
Come on. Okay. You're all right.
Mr. Ritz, I'm sorry to interrupt, but these are everybody's iPhones, cell phones. I was just going to put them in my... I do. One of them is a suspect.
Are they on airplane mode?
Oh, no.
I think...
I ain't done nothing with them except write their names down. No. We just gathered them up because there's already family members arriving and somebody has called.
With any of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need all their passcodes.
Okay.
And then when we have that, I'll get the envelopes and write everything down of who they belong to.
Now, I don't know if I can get you the old Jared's passcode or not.
Who's Jared?
He's the one in my back seat.
He's the one in the back seat. Yes, ma'am.
Ask him for it. Worst thing you can do is say no.
Have y'all been briefed on everything already?
No, we have no idea what's going on.
Let me give y'all the rundown.
I'm still going to set, I'm good to set them in my truck just to get them.
Yeah.
Tension fills the air as officers carefully collect phones from Jared's family, wary of potential remote data wipes. Jared, sitting silently in the patrol car, is asked to provide his phone's passcode. He hesitates, his voice trembling, as though battling a storm of inner turmoil. Every second of silence stretches endlessly, amplifying the already suffocating atmosphere.
And this needs to be plugged in, so I'm going to stick it in my car.
Okay.
Because you can't lose your car. Tell me, Bob.
What is their problem? Well, I'll ask you another time.
So you are able to remote wipe a phone.
Oh.
If you have an iTunes account.
Oh, okay.
And there's certain apps. So you do it so that the phone can't have any connectivity and be remotely wiped by anybody. You don't want it to lose charge, because if it loses charge...
That name doesn't don't need no passcode.
Perfect. Okay, but we still got to
put like mine.
Airplane mode.
This one needs a passcode.
That one's on airplane?
I don't know. I just swiped that one off.
Oh, that one doesn't. It looks like... Did you open it, or it just did that?
I just turned it on. Like, poof.
Where's their settings? Well, motherfucker. You see settings? Where's the little...
You won't see that right little there. Wheel. Oh.
Remote. Bluetooth off. Okay, that one's done.
So this one, Daddy's, is the only one we need the passcode to. Do you want these in there, or you want me to put them in my truck?
You are technically the custodian and seized them.
Okay.
So if you want to put them in here, you can, but I'm still going to need you to fill out the that you took them.
Yeah, I'm not done.
And I'll lock the car. Lock the car.
This is right here, all right?
Yeah.
So we don't need passcodes for, or do we need passcodes?
Just Daddy's is all it looks like. How's the charge? Okay.
Just Daddy's?
Yep. Oh, and did I fetch it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I just kind of touched it and it came on. Because I could see the battery.
Yeah, it's a 6-digit passcode.
Okay. So I need suspects and daddies.
After finally giving a vague passcode, Jared falls into silence, his empty gaze betraying the chaos within. Meanwhile, tension rises outside as the family resists the officer's request to search the main house. The homeowner's defiant statement, "No one's going in without me," underscores a desperate attempt to maintain control in an unraveling situation, laced with fear and uncertainty.
So apparently, either
follow me.
I need to ask him if he'll give me your passcode.
Yeah, it's all
or his passcode. Jared.
Yeah.
Randy Lewis, you remember me?
Yes, sir.
You okay?
Yes,
sir. Jared, would you mind giving me the passcode to your phone? It's supposed to be a 6-digit code. Sorry, I can't hear.
Yes, I forget the rest.
So, is it?
It's.
Any more to it? Then that'll open it up. It's not set or nothing like that. Just. Okay, thank you.
Sergeant Garner, the Sheriff's Office of Texas Goodies. Are you the homeowner? We'd like to ask for your consent to go into the house.
Into my house?
Yes.
No.
Okay, without, we're going to have to get a search warrant.
JR's right there. Talk to him.
Okay.
What do you need to go to my house for?
Isn't that where the body's at?
No, sir.
No, sir.
It's a black house.
Okay.
It's a black house. I've got 9 dogs in there.
I apologize. Mm-hmm. I was told.
No.
I apologize.
Well,
I
was you told don't have to talk to me and start threatening me with goddamn search warrant. That's not needed. It's not necessary.
Sir, I was asking for your consent.
And I told you no.
And I was going under the impression that the body was inside the house.
All right.
So.
Are we good?
You tell me. Are we good?
I am.
Okay.
I apologize to you.
Can we get your consent to go into the house behind you?
Most definitely can.
Okay, thank you very much.
Misunderstandings about the safety of the family's dogs escalate the tension further. The homeowner declares, "If you want to go in, I have to be there to protect them." A statement born of both frustration and a deep sense of vulnerability. Officers work to de-escalate the situation, but the atmosphere remains charged with unease.
So, we have no intention of causing any more harm here tonight.
Put them in there.
Okay, no, it's a misunderstanding. I apologize to you.
We're trying to get to the bottom of what's going on here. All right. That's all we're trying to do.
Sir, can I get you your information?
Get contact number.
I'm going to help you guys everything I can.
814.
That's all we're asking for.
I know, but it's just...
We have a procedure we have to follow, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, I want you to know why I said no. If you let me go in and secure them dogs, yes, you can get nothing else too.
No, we don't have any intention of harming your dogs.
Sorry, do you mind if I ask Mr. Dykus a phone question?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Mr. Dykus, would you mind giving me your numbers to get in, turn your phone on, so we can turn it off onto airplane mode?
Yeah.
Yeah, we gathered them all up.
Yes, sir.
I talked to old Jared in the back seat.
Hello. Are y'all about to leave? Medic number and names, please.
Four.
And Jessalyn White.
Okay. I'll need your reports and make it go. Are you going to write one or no?
Okay.
All right. Good deal. Thank you.
The horrifying details of the crime scene emerge. Angie's body lies in the shed behind the house, her head placed neatly in the bathtub beside shampoo bottles and a razor. The unsettling precision of the arrangement adds a sinister layer to the narrative. The officer's descriptions send chills down the spine, leaving no doubt about the sheer brutality of the act.
And she's not in the bathtub.
The head's in the bathtub.
Is there water in the bathtub?
There's a couple of sheets of shampoo and conditioner, bottle, and a razor laying in the bathtub neatly by her head. We don't know why.
Did he wash her hair?
Strange. But she's in the action.
What time is it?
5:23.
No, I'm definitely not making it back to my office by 6.
I'm not making it to jujitsu at 6:30.
No, you're not.
I asked Jared first for the code to his phone. He goes, "Sure, I'll give it to you." And he gave me that. And he goes, "Oh no, I think that's all I remember."
And then
he said it may be, and then I think I heard 1-2, and then when I went and asked Daddy what his code was, he goes, "Sure, I'll give it to you." Daddy swears that. The Daddy says that's his. Daddy's. Wayne gave me that.
Deal. Okay.
Life sentence.
We can try.
I mean, Jared gave me that, but that's all I could get out of him. Oh, pardon me, Mike.
That's what I'm saying, right?
You got something, Mike.
Well, you
don't get
the end of the
way. Okay, so did you learn anything? Have you been talking to anybody?
Yeah, I'll come out. I won't need anything on me.
I'll get you the name and info as soon as I get
grandparents.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, just text me, send it to him. Thanks.
Take care, buddy.
All right. I'll take you.
So basically, I'm sure they've already told you that my two brothers live here with the deceased. The daughter that's not there.
Thank y'all for coming, sir. I appreciate it.
They called 911. They called grandparents.
Thank you, Blake.
Yes, sir, anytime.
What do I need to do now? Probably I'm not getting a lot of stuff to do.
You want to pull your car up in here? Can you do your paperwork on your laptop, or are you not comfortable doing it?
I'm not comfortable doing it like that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's been down.
Yeah, I think this is probably one that can
wait
till tomorrow since everybody's aware of it.
I was here Sunday night, and Dad was already laying into his house. Yeah, because your suspect called 911 saying that...
Officers broaden their investigation, questioning neighbors for any insights into Jared, his relationship with Angie, or signs of prior conflict. A key timeline emerges. The crime likely occurred between 4 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. This time frame becomes the focal point, shrouded in mystery and holding the key to uncovering the truth.
Here multiple times, and it's a mom and daddy and two brothers. And then unbeknownst to me, one of the brothers got married back in September, a little girl that worked at Chappie's, and they're living in the shed back behind the house. But when I heard possible DOA at 206 Ocala, I thought it was the brother that's sitting up there under the carport. I just figured he'd OD. I didn't think this other one would be involved.
But now in that car behind the sheriff's truck,
messed up on
that that's I guess Lynn's mom.
That's
Mama's Lynn.
Terry Lynn. Yes,
that's her parents and her daughter. And Lynn's
mom.
But they got, they had got a phone call from, I'm assuming the brother that's up there, that she was dead, because they told me and Pat was sat out there, and that's why when I told the sheriff that, they already knew, that's when he said, maybe I'll take your cell phones.
They could have got a phone call before we got a phone call. I don't know where they. Do you know where they live?
I didn't get that, but they do know her last name. I think it was Diaz.
Is what Daddy told me. Diaz too. Yeah,
and she's got family somewhere around here. I know she got a couple of brothers and an uncle, but I think they said she was from Nicaragua or Guatemala or something.
Don't know.
I don't think she's legal.
No, not at all. Her brother told me that. She said, I don't care.
Might not have any ID.
Tensions within Jared's family escalate as officers prepare a search warrant. Defensive responses, anxious glances, and the father's guarded tone suggest a family on edge. The weight of the situation bears heavily on everyone, creating a stifling atmosphere as investigators inch closer to the heart of the tragedy.
Mama, when I was just visiting with Mama, she said, Jared told me this happened this morning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, if he's been in the house since 12:30, then he probably, they said they got home at like 4 a.m. So from 4 a.m. to 12:30 is our window when this happened.
Okay, and that's why we talk about canvassing, because...
We also want the history. Yeah. Like, they know, because they'll give you like the little tidbits of...
Yeah.
And we can get a better timeline as to when it happened. Maybe somebody heard something last night or early this morning.
Well, those are...
Family.
Yeah, grandparent. That's grandparent and his sister.
Okay.
They got a phone call. From, I think it's a
brother. Is that mom over there?
It's mama.
But I don't want to...
Right sitting in the chair, yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't ID them, but they seem to know. They know that the deceased has a couple brothers and a uncle that lives somewhere around here.
Okay. We'll find all that out.
So this is what I'm thinking. I will go back to the office. I'll start the search warrant, and then y'all can start bringing mom, suspect, dad, not necessarily in that order, to me, and I'll start doing the interviews there.
Okay.
Because once I get the search warrant done, then y'all can start here.
Okay. Okay.
Not yet. We're not there yet. I don't have anything to tell them.
I'm asking out of ignorance. Not because I'm questioning y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy gave consent.
Yeah.
He is acting squirrely. And I don't want us to be halfway in there and come so bad.
Okay.
So I'm just, since I've got to write a PC affidavit anyway for the back house. Right.
Okay, I just wanted to come for future reference. Yes, sir. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You might have to chill for a second.
Well, Troy's going over there right now. You need to go over there with him.
Yes, yeah. Body cam. Here, as a matter of fact.
And I need the sheriff to stop talking to him.
I mean,
can you go do that? Please.
What's name?
I need the sheriff to stop talking to him.
Excuse me, Sheriff, you got just a second? I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't want her to hear. Sheriff, I mean no disrespect, but I've been asked to ask you to stop talking to those folks.
Well, I ain't talking to nobody. I'm just telling you.
I'm just...
As the investigation progresses, Jared's mother delivers a chilling revelation. He told me it happened this morning. Her words cut through the room like a knife, casting a haunting shadow over the case. The officers realize they're grappling with a far more complex and harrowing reality than they initially imagined.
And everybody was real, real forthcoming as far as, just wanting to talk. I didn't ask them nothing. They just started talking.
Wait a minute.
Oh, I have my template for everything on my desk.
I'm going to do perimeter photographs. You good with that? Or do you want me to just complain to you?
I would just wait. Okay. Because we don't technically...
I know, that's why I was asking.
I consent. Really, that's
okay. Sounds like plan. Well, this is going to take minutes.
Just waiting on your people to get their shit done.
I know. You staying around here with your thumb in your ass for so long. Let him sit there and speak too long. You gotta watch it.
Which one, Jared?
Dad, yeah.
Oh, no. He'll be...
No, he's just upset.
He will. Should he be?
Yeah, it's his whole family. He's just now hitting it.
No, it's not just now hitting. It's been hitting. And he's been trying to get him built for that.
The video closes with Jared's earlier 911 call, where he admits to drug use and pleads for help. His shaky, trembling voice serves as a haunting reminder of a mind unraveling. The final note reveals Jared's sentence, 40 years in prison for Angie's murder, seemingly bringing closure to the case, yet leaving behind lingering questions and a sense of profound unease.
Waller County 911.
Yes, this is Jared Dykus.
Hello?
Yes,
Waller County, go ahead.
I did a little bit of drugs and I need help. I'm at Steven Cisco College Boulevard.
Okay, 206 Ocala?
Yes.
Okay, and what's the problem?
I just don't feel well.
Okay, and you said you took drugs?
No, ma'am. I'm completely sorry. I don't know why I called.
Okay, and are you there by yourself?